Acts chapter 3, if you guys would. We're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to share a story this morning. I don't have points and steps and all that. What I have is the Word of God that I want us to read through, and then I want the Holy Spirit to illuminate some things to us this morning. Are you guys okay with that? All right, let me just tell you this real quick. If I invited all of you guys to dinner after service this morning, would you come? Okay, so if I invite you to dinner, I pay for the groceries, I make all the food. You guys come over, and we start eating, and you just sit there with your head down, and you don't say anything. What would I assume? What would I assume? Food's not very good, is it? Because you're just kind of like, right? But if we really enjoy the meal, what do we typically do? There's some conversation. And so listen, I've worked really hard on preparing you a great meal this morning. So if you sit there quiet all morning, guess what I'm going to think? The food ain't very good. So I just want to invite you, it's okay to have a little feedback this morning, all right? So it's okay to throw a few amens out there. Is that all right? Okay. So Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1, it says, one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I don't have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking, jumping, and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Here is something I want you to consider this morning. Has your condition become your identity? And I want you to chew on this. Has the circumstances and the situations of life permeated my soul, that your mind, will, and emotions, has what happens on a daily basis, a weekly basis, a monthly basis, has the ruts and routines of life crept into my soul so much that my condition and surrounding conditions have become my reality and even worse, my identity? Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we submit this service into your hands. Father, this is our time to hear from you. Speak to us individually the way that you do, so uniquely and so special to each one of us. We are your sons and daughters, so we're asking you as our Father, talk to your children this morning. And I pray, give us ears to hear so we don't miss hearing something. Give us eyes to see so we don't miss seeing something. And give us a heart that is open and receptive to any conversation you would like to have with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're just gonna go through kind of verse by verse and kind of unpack this story, because this story is phenomenal. But it's a story about expectation. And inside of that, what's interesting that I find interesting, maybe you do too, is it's that moment of expectation that this could be my moment. It's like living on the edge of faith to say, why not me and why not right now? Because this could be the moment that my entire life changes. But here's what's interesting, and this is what just captivates me. Verse 1, it starts out and says this: one day Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer, 3 in the afternoon. One day, there were no festivals going on. There was nothing special about this day. It's 3 p.m, and they had 2 times a day of prayer. But if this was the same time they prayed every day, there was nothing unique about that day. It was just one day. Just one day that was the catalyst that changed that man's life forever. It was just one day. What prayer was a normal event. It was happening all the time. Being carried to the gate was a normal event for this man. Happened every day. People going about their business and some walking right by him, some flicking him an occasional nickel or whatever they had in their pocket. This was all a normal, ordinary day. And I just wonder if we can get into the same rut as Christians. Just another Sunday. Just like any other Sunday. Nothing special about this Sunday. And I wonder if we start to lose some of our expectation that today could be my day. I wonder if our faith begins to dull. I wonder if our hope and our expectation begin to kind of fade. I just wonder. Because this was just one day. One unique day. I think our reality as Christians is our expectation can become very jaded by disappointment. Does anybody agree with that? I think the more disappointed I get, and we're gonna really hammer on this in a little bit, but I think the more times I feel disappointed, the easier it is that this ain't gonna be my day. This will just be like any other day. But can I tell you, that is not what the Holy Spirit wants for us. That's not what our Heavenly Father, that's not what my Savior died for. For us to live in a dulled expectation of hope. So verse 2. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put there every day to beg from those who went into the temple courts. I want to say something, and I don't want this to land wrong, so I'm going to try to expound upon it for you. If we had to take a guess, because the scripture's not clear, we could guess what this man's maybe 20, 30, 40 years old. We don't know. Scripture doesn't specify. But this man's being carried to this gate daily, right? Here's what I want to say to you, and we'll unpack it. You've got to be really, really careful of good people, well-meaning people. They're people that are loyal friends, they're trustworthy, you know, they've been with you through some of the thick and thin, but be very, very careful of people that will enable and carry you to your dysfunction. Be very careful. They're good people. They're friends a lot of times. But just be very careful with what I would call enablers that carry you close enough to fix you for the day, but not close enough to change your life. They carried him to the gates, but just a little bit farther was the temple. And they got him just close enough to carry him to people to try to solve his issues, to throw him a few coins to make it to the next day. And they carried him to the outskirts, but not all the way in. Now compare and contrast this to Luke 5, where now Jesus is in the house and he's preaching, and it says the crowds were so thick that no one could get in. And now all of a sudden these 4 crazy friends have their buddy on a stretcher and rip the roof off to get him to Jesus. It's the difference between 2 sets of friends. One will get you just close enough to keep enabling your dysfunction. Can I give you a quick example? They're the ones that when you start complaining will coddle you and pacify you rather than leading you to Jesus. They'll get you just close enough to make you feel better about it, but they won't take you to Jesus. Where these guys were so determined, they tore a roof off to make sure. They could have left him the same way that this man at the gate was being left, at the outskirts of the crowd. Maybe Jesus will see him. Maybe Jesus will touch him. Maybe not. But then there's this whole other set of friends that'll rip a roof off to get you to Jesus. Be really careful about really well-meaning people. They're good-hearted people. They're not bad at all, but they're enablers that will carry you to your dysfunction. We doing okay? So verse 4, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him as John did, and Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from him. Now, here's what's interesting about this. How many people you got around Pagosa that ask for money out on a corner? And what's our typical response? Maybe not your response. I'll throw myself under the bus. Like, don't look, don't look. Don't. Maybe if I'm not looking, you know, just it almost like it's not there. Is that anybody else in the room or just me? How many times do you think that happened to this guy? Because he's there every day. So now he almost becomes white noise in the background. And people walk by, maybe they flip him something, maybe they don't. But now all of a sudden Peter, and I think this is why the scripture says what it says. Peter looked straight at him. Because most people would want to ignore, so I don't have to give you anything. So Peter looks straight at him. And this is what I love. Expecting, so the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something. Expecting. Here's the question. It's just an ordinary Sunday. What are you expecting today? I'm looking at you, you're looking at me. You know, I've heard it said this way. You will get 100% of what you're expecting, even if it's nothing. So what are you expecting for today? On just an ordinary Sunday. No special festival. No celebration. Just a Sunday. What are you expecting? And I think it's important because the Bible is something that should... Well, the scripture even calls it a mirror that we look into to see how are we doing inside of the mirror of the Word of God. So I think it's important. What are you expecting today? Is this just another Sunday that we get to check off our good attendance record? Come on, think about it. It's getting awful quiet in here. Is the food okay? Is this food good? All right, I'm just checking. Just making sure. Have we so resigned ourselves to the routine and ruts of life? And guys, can I just give you this caution? I mean, be really, really careful with ruts and routines because they can shift so easily into a label. Just be really careful with ruts and routines. But if we kind of resigned ourselves to just our ruts, our routines, our typical Sunday-to-Sunday activities, so much so that we've stopped expecting God to do something in our life. I mean, I want to hear some good worship. I'd like to hear a good message. I hope the speaker's engaging. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like we're sitting on the outside at the gate and not going in. Are we looking to what we can produce, what we can do in our own strength? Even worse, kind of like in the story, are we looking to maybe what other people can do for us? And now God becomes kind of a last resort, my last one on the list that I go to. Guys, it's so easy. And I think I like to talk about it because this has happened so many times in my own life that I know I'm not the only one that deals with it. And then I kind of catch myself like, why did I wait till the end to talk to my father about it? Why didn't I go to him first? But rather than expecting God to move, I try to make movement happen on my own, or I look to other people. Here's a question I want you to seriously consider this morning. Has your expectation, has your hope, has your faith on some level, has your expectation died on the altar of disappointment? And please chew on this. Has your expectation, your faith, your hope, has it died on the altar? I beg of you to be honest with yourself. I've expected from God in times past. I've put my faith out there, but I didn't get what I wanted. A different outcome happened. Has that ever happened to anybody? I prayed for one thing and that's not what happened at all. But I was disappointed with God. Why didn't you do what I asked? Why didn't you do what I prayed for? And if I can say it this way, I learned this from my mentor. It's almost as if we're looking at God and saying, God, you're not godding the way I think you should be godding. Because you didn't do what I wanted. And it didn't turn out like I asked. And if that happens enough, you know what we start doing as just natural human beings? We stop putting it out there. Because what if he doesn't come through again? And I put myself out there only to be disappointed. And here's the mentality that starts to show up. God, I know you can. I just don't know if you will. I don't know. I know you can, but if I'm really honest, I don't think you're going to. And so why go through the bother? I will just withdraw my expectation. So can I ask you again? Has your expectation, your hope, your faith, has it died on the altar of disappointment? Well, Pastor Eddie, I don't know if it's died. Well, then let me put it this way. Has it become lame and crippled, just like this man? Maybe it hadn't died out completely, but it sure is crippled. And let me tell you about this. There are times where if I walk with a limp long enough, my limp feels normal, and I don't even realize I'm walking with it. And the sad part is, I get the privilege of going across the nation to work with churches. I've pastored my own church for a while, just standing with elder teams and pastors and leadership teams and staff. I see this all the time. We got churches all across this nation of ours that are crippled. They've stopped putting their faith out there because they're too jaded by disappointment. I know God can. I just don't think he will. Come on, can we be honest with ourselves this morning? I know he can. I know he might do it for you. I just don't think he'll do it for me. Can we have a moment of vulnerability? Has there been a time where you felt like that? Do you mind to lift up a hand? Now, I mean, hold it up there, kind of loud and proud. Now, look around the room. Look around the room right now. Can I just tell you this? We're not alone. Thank God we're not alone. But it's just a reality. And the biggest problem I see in the story is this man's condition had become his identity. And I think the conditions of life, the circumstances of life, can so easily become our identity and we end up spiritually just like this man. We get on the outskirts of God, but we never go inside. And we surround ourselves with some people that kind of enable us there and don't mind to get us to the outskirts, but they won't be good enough, strong enough friends to carry me to the inside where Jesus can change my life. I know it's just a Sunday, but what if it's yours? What if this is my Sunday? For God to do something incredible. For God to change me in a way that alters my life forever. Can I tell you this? Victim is not your identity. What people have spoke over you is not your identity. Even my perceived deficiencies, they're not my identity. I am a son and a daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is my identity, and it's yours as well. We are not, figuratively speaking, we are not a lame cripple on the outside of what God wants to do. But man, I see that this is by and large how the church of God acts. Is that too harsh? Or can I just be brutally honest? And listen, I'll lump myself in there. God moving. Our expectation, this should be a normalized part of my life. It should be. This should be like my expectation of God doing something. That should be how I roll. It should be how you roll. So where are we? And where are you today? Let's take a good hard look in the mirror. Let's do some self-assessment. Where are we? And here's what I want you to think about. Who are you in the story? Are you Peter? Are you John? Are you the lame man? Are you the enabling friends? Where do you see yourself in the story? Now listen, I know where most of us would love to believe we're at. Where I'd like to convince myself, man, I'm Peter all day in the story. Come on! But you know who I find that I associate with more than me? So where do you find you in the story? What's the condition of your heart? Because Peter said, silver and gold, I don't have it. And I wonder if he was disappointed for like that quick. Because his expectation was money. I don't have any of that, but what I do have, I'm going to give to you. So much of the time, now listen to me, this is noteworthy. So much of the time, God gives us exactly what we need in a package we don't like. And it's exactly what we need, but I sure don't like the wrapping. And by the way, it's not what I asked for. Peter gave that man a word, he gave that man a command, and then he gave that man a hand. He gave him a word, he gave him a command, and then he gave him a hand. And he said this, and most translations that you read, the one I read doesn't say it, but most translations, New King James says this, that Peter's command was get up. He gave him a word. I don't have any silver and gold, but what I have, I'm going to give it to you. Get up. Get up. And then he stuck his hand out and yanked that man up before he had time to think his way out of it. He yanked him up before he had time to rationalize, I can't. He gave him a word, he gave him a command, and then he gave him a hand. And it's exactly what I feel like I'm supposed to do with you today. Get up. Church, get up. Stop sitting with lame hope and expectation and faith not activated on the sidelines of what God wants to do. Get up. Get up before you have time to talk yourself out of it. Get up before you have time to outthink why I shouldn't put myself out there. Get up and move to the inside of what God wants to do and stop looking from a distance, hoping that Jesus will walk my way. Get up. I give you a word. I've been trying to all morning. A command and then a hand. I think it's really important that this morning, instead of putting a hand out, we're putting a hand up in full surrender to exactly what God wants to do. I believe that God wants to heal your hope. I believe God wants to heal your expectation. I believe God wants to heal your faith. I believe that God wants to revive your desires that have been in there, but you know what? It's been so long, I've just let them just collect dust off to the side. I feel like God wants to heal that hope again, that today could be my day. Today could be my moment that God changes everything. Today could be the moment the check shows up in the mail. Today could be the moment my child, who I've been praying for, accepts Christ into their heart. Today could be my day. It's an ordinary day where I believe Jesus can do the extraordinary. If you would, just stand up for a moment. Can we take a moment to pray? And listen, here's what this ministry time is for me. This is a time where I need to have a really frank conversation with my Father. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, just bow your head for a moment. If you would. Please don't be looking around. And the reason you do this, guys, it's just honor and respect. This is not about what's going on in my neighbor's life. It's about what's going on in mine. And so I ask you this morning, man, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? Will you please ask that? Holy Spirit. This morning, if you're here, and you know in your heart, yeah, my expectations died on the altar of disappointment. That's me. I can't even tell you the last time I extended my faith out there and trusted God and stepped out on a branch that felt like it was cracking under my feet. I've lost my hope. I'm that person. I know God can. I just don't think He will for me. Come on, if that's you this morning, God wants to heal. God wants you to get up. God doesn't want you sitting on the outside begging for a miracle. So again, this is personal. It's between you and Him. And I'm asking you to do this as a step of faith. But if any of what I said was you this morning, again, with heads bowed and eyes closed, again, this is between you and God. And I'm just asking you to do this as a act of display to God to say, God, that's me this morning, and I need your healing. And if that's you this morning, and you need God to heal your hope and your faith and your expectation and your desires and your dreams and the gifts and the calls that are on the inside of you that have been laying dormant, dare I say, even crippled. If that's you this morning, would you just lift your hand? Just as an acknowledgement before God. Father, will you please forgive us? Father, I've let my faith and my hope, my expectation, I've let it die on the altar of disappointment, and I'm sorry. Forgive me. Forgive us. We're asking this morning, heal our hope. Heal our desires. Heal our vision that you've given us. Heal our expectation of hope. And I just impart faith into the room in Jesus' name. I impart faith into your life in Jesus' name. The ability, as the scripture says, a gift of faith to believe God again. I impart faith into your life right now. I impart hope into your heart right now. I impart expectation into your heart right now. That today and tomorrow and the next day could be my day. And I'm going to expect God to do something amazing. If the altar team, ministry team, prayer team wouldn't mind to come up. If there is anything this morning, church, that you need prayer for, anything at all, we want you to know that we're here. We're the friends that want to tear the roof off and take you to Jesus. So if that's you this morning, and it's like, you know what? I hear you. I think I need some help. How many of you know, even biblically, it says this, that I can do some things independently, but you put two or three people together, and how much more can we do? The scripture says if one of us can put a 100, 1,000 to flight, two of us can put 10,000. We are stronger together than we are apart. So if you need prayer for anything this morning, I believe we got some crazy enough friends that would tear a roof off to get you to Jesus. Do you guys do that with me? I love ripping the roof off. So if you need prayer for anything this morning, I just want to invite you to come down. Let these prayer warriors pray with you. You don't have to do this alone. And guess what? It's so freeing to be able to say, you know what? I need help. I need help. That is freeing. It's not an indictment, it's freedom. So this story is a story of expectation, but ultimately, it's a story of a man being set free. And I pray that this morning, you would not let this ordinary Sunday pass you by without giving God the chance to do something extraordinary. Church, we love you. You're welcome to come down at any moment in time. Thank you so much for letting me speak into your hearts this morning.